Okay, folks. This session is being recorded, so those people who missed out, you can tell them to be up on Leo later on this morning. So welcome all, and first thing I want to do is welcome our literary tour leader, Eric, here. Eric.
Thank you, and welcome to my country.
That's it.
How many of you have been to the States before? Oh, quite a few. How many of you have been to New York before?
A couple of old pros.
Good. So I've been in a literary tour guide in New York City since around 2000, which was shocking because I was so young. But it started with a theater company back in 1998. That I was an actor with, that was looking for a way to raise money, and we used to do readings at some famous literary bar, and drink too much wine. And somebody went to Dublin, where there's a Dublin literary pub crawl, and that kind of inspired us to do something there in Greenwich Village. And then as the years have gone on, the theater company has financially fallen apart, as theater companies do, but the tours have continued to grow, and so we have several tours now that we do around the city, focus on different neighborhoods and the writers that are there. We have added two tours specifically for your group, based off of conversations that Michael and James and I had about trying to hit some of the more literary stuff that connects with some of your work. So what we've done is we've tried to find any crossover we could with some of the materials that they provided with me that you've been reading, to see if we can find, you know, a spot where this was where it was written, or this is where he lived, or this is the setting of the book. So hopefully it will help kind of put the words on the page to moments right in the streets, which is our goal a little bit. We'll also expose you to a lot of writers that you may not have even heard of. We find that there's a lot of writers that were really instrumental in helping to shape, I think certainly the country and the viewpoints of the country, but now they're just names people recognize but have never read. So hopefully we might turn you on to some new writers as well. We'll point out lots of other things that aren't necessarily literary, just interesting, wacky stories. Each of the tours will be approximately 90 minutes, give or take. They'll all be, for the most part, outside. What I believe, you probably know this, but we're going to split you into two groups, so it's a little bit more manageable on the streets of New York, because you're probably noticing they're crowded and small. And some of our neighborhoods get more crowded and more small as we go. And then we'll try to get back to a central meeting point. Oftentimes we'll probably bring people back here. You can go grab some lunch, and then when we're ready, we'll start. You'll do a swap. I have a whole team of guys that are going to be working over the next few days. Some are specific to particular tours. Some you'll see on multiple tours. Hopefully you'll like them if you're repeating. Some of them are also going to be learning the material for the first time. I have a couple new guides, so I'm giving this an opportunity for them to do a dry run. So there'll be probably even better than the teacher-student ratio that you often experience here. I wanted to give you a couple of things that just help manage your way through New York City. What kind of reputation does New York City have to you? When you think New York City, what do you think?
Fun, boisterous, busy, and a little dangerous.
Okay. Any other things come to mind? Word? Is that
walk
kind
fast,
of...
Walk fast, otherwise you get fast paced.
Mm-hmm, okay. Good, yeah. I used to have a running joke, and forgive, but I used to say, if you're in New York City, and you don't see this, you're in my way. There is definitely that sense, and you will experience that here a little bit, especially in some of the neighborhoods like Times Square during rush hours, where there's a lot of people who literally they just want to go from their job to home.
Yeah.
And some of these areas have become very popular tourist destinations. I mean, as New Yorkers, we avoid. I walk around the outskirts of Times Square if I have to get from one side to the other, rather than try to walk through as much as possible, because it can get so crowded at times. Basic etiquette that we usually like to share. You know, if you're walking the group on the sidewalk and you're texting and you need to text, stop, step off to the side. Kind of like you would driving. I mean, you almost think it like driving a little bit. Like, if you're not sure where you're going, if you just step off to the side, even if it's crowded, people understand and that's respectable. It's always thinking that there are other people behind you. There's people behind you on the stairs. especially on the subway platform. So if you're not sure if you're going the right way, get the exercise, get to the top of the stairs, step aside, and then figure out if you need to go back down. But that's, and as we're walking around on the tours, we'll keep reminding you as we stop on the sidewalk, we'll have you pull in close to at least allow people to walk behind you as well. So we'll remind you of that. For the most part, New Yorkers are very friendly once they realize that you are not going to be in their way and you're not asking them for money. And you'll experience why I say that. And literally, like, everyone is asking me for money. As soon as I know that they're not, they're going to be very helpful with directions. People are very helpful with subway directions. You can ask the friendliest looking stranger. And as soon as they know you're not asking for money, we've all been lost, even people who grew up here. So the reputation is earned and not earned in that sense. It is a safe city. It is one of the safest cities now in the country, and it was not always the case. And its reputation comes from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and early 90s. but now it's the 2000s. And some of it, and we'll talk about it. Forgive me if I'm talking too much.
No, that's good. Keep going.
As the economy has done well, and gentrification, which is a term you will hear over and over again on our tour, and I'm sure it's a common theme in some of the urban areas we are at, it kind of prices out some of the elements. That's not to say that you shouldn't also be cautious. And sadly, especially for women, just, you know, don't walk alone at night. Don't wear headphones. People who would want to do you harm are going to look for people who don't seem like they're aware of their surroundings. It is very, very rare, especially in the neighborhoods that we're going to be at. It's so well lit, it's so populated, it's rare to hear something like that happening. You're more likely to run into the possibility of being pickpocketed, which is still exceptionally rare. I think in the 18 years that I've been in New York City, I know of 3 people who've had something that's happened. I've never had a single thing happen to me in the whole time that I'm there. So I wouldn't worry about that part of it by any means. One of the advice, I think the bigger crimes to me that was happening for a while is people who are standing on subway stations near where the doors open holding their phone like this, and it's gone. So I actually have a habit of, I tend to hold my phone like this on the subways, but, you know, they're going to be looking for, if you're near the subway station, to reach into the doors, grab it, and pull. Again, I've never seen it happen. I know one person who lost a phone that way. I've also left cell phones and wallets in cabs, and they have always been returned to me. So it is really, its reputation is mostly what sells well in movies and TV as compared to what the reality is here. I also, you know, the other thing I do, I usually keep my wallet in my front pocket. I keep my money, if you're going to carry your passport with you, which you don't need to, front pockets, because it's, you know, back pockets. Backpacks, just make sure the zippers are zipped up. Because those are the things that they're kind of looking for. But it is a safe city. I don't walk around worried. Late at night, you know, we won't go to the parks. it's not really nearly that bad. Last thing I did want to cover, if I still have...
You've got plenty of time. Okay. I'm going to prompt you in a moment.
Okay. I would fail most of your tests that you have passed. There's a grid layout of New York City. If you look at a map, everything's kind of rectangular. Once you know the system, it's very easy to orient yourself where you are, except for where we'll be going today for our tour, because that's some of the older neighborhoods, and it's very easy to get lost, even for some of us who've been guides for 10 years. I'm like, wait a minute, is this guy not going to go there again? Street numbers go up as you go north. So we are on 31st Street. 34th Street is north. 28th Street is south. 34th Street is uptown. 28th Street is downtown. Especially when you're dealing with the subways, a lot of them are going to say uptown and Queens or Bronx, downtown and Brooklyn. So Brooklyn, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Harlem, Manhattan. So this is always referred to as trains that are going downtown. They're headed south. Trains that are going north are headed uptown. So that's a good way to figure that out. Avenues go up as you go west. So 1st Avenue is very far east, 10th Avenue is very far west. So 1st Avenue and 1st Street is the southeast corner of the grid, and 100 and blah, blah, blah Street and 10th Avenue is like the northwest corner. Does that all make sense?
Yep.
So that's right. And I still, like 18 years, I get out of the subway and I still sometimes get turned around, and I kind of find the street signs, That's 32nd, that's 34th, north, east, southwest. Great, now I know which way I need to go from there. The last thing that is also useful with street addresses, this hotel is 4 West 31st Street. There is a 4 East 31st Street. The dividing line is 5th Avenue. Uh-huh. 5th Avenue is your zero point on the map. 5th Avenue is kind of considered to be the center avenue. It's not exact yet.
When someone's giving you directions like 31st and 5th, mm-hmm. is it always like the street they'll say first and then the second number is the avenue?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much the standard lingual. And if it's close, they might say it's 1st Avenue, 1st Street. I might try to call it out. But yeah, most people are going to say like, yeah, you want to go to 42nd and 7th. And it also helps, like 12th Avenue is your highest avenue. So that will all, you know, so if they start talking 42nd, 52nd, 62nd, that's a street. Yeah?
If we're giving directions to a cab driver, you don't actually say 4 West 31st, do you? You need to say, it's my understanding you've got to say between 5th and Broadway, because they know blocks rather than locations, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, well, now with the advent of phones and GPSs, sometimes you'll have people who will punch that in. A lot of your cab drivers might also know the Hotel Walcott. Mm. And you could just say, I'm at the Hotel Walcott on 31st between Broadway and 6th.
Broadway.
Yeah, and that's usually what I do with the cab, is I'll tell them the block and the avenues in between. So yeah, absolutely. You can hail cabs here, the yellow cabs. It's very safe. And then if you have Uber accounts, you can use those as well. And if you have phones with a GPS system, if you're not sure if they know where you're going, I've done it. I've punched in the address and just kind of tracked around. But, you know, in Manhattan, they pretty much know where they're going. So, yeah, you can say, I'm at the Hotel Walcott. It's 31st between 5th and 6th. And they'll get you there.
Okay, Eric, I want to try and give the group a sense of where we're going in the whole week in terms of what areas and how they relate to literary, you know, some of the works that we're studying. So I'm going to mention each of the walks, and you're going to tell us just a little bit about how you came about to construct that walk and how you see it fitting into what we're doing.
Okay.
So, for instance, today we're going to Greenwich Village and East Village. Do you want to say a little bit about that?
Great. So Greenwich Village is like the literary hotspot of probably the whole country, certainly New York City, for whatever reason. And we'll go into detail of that a little bit, but it just happened to be the neighborhood that was the most affordable place to live for several decades. And it got a reputation for a lot of writers. East Village came about as people wanted to try to capture the allure of Greenwich Village, and so they called it the east part of the village to try to help sell rent and get people to move in there. You had a lot of artists in both of those neighborhoods for a while because most of your wealth tended to be north of 14th Street. And New York City, and this comes up, and we'll talk about it with Willa Cather, Edith Wharton writes about the divide between the wealth and the bohemian artist class that was developing during her time. So you have old money in north.
Can I just butt in there for a moment? Edith Wharton, who's just mentioned, if you go into the foyer here, there's a little museum for this hotel. This hotel has actually got quite a literary history. Mark Twain wrote letters here. Edith Wharton was here for a while. Henry Miller. And then if you want to go further upstream, you've got Buddy Holly and the Everly Brothers. So there's a little museum worth having a look. But back to Edith Wharton. Yeah.
So that's sort of where the two get their reputation. A lot of the writers, you'll hear the names pop around in the different tours that we have, because sometimes they did kind of travel a bit. So, you know, we're very heavy in almost any writer you can name, we can probably find a connection in Greenwich Village. Less so in the East Village. East Village was very big into blues, jazz, and punk rock, as well as a lot of the beats. Allen Ginsberg was heavy in East Village. Jack Kerouac. Do you all know who Jack Kerouac is? Okay. He comes up a lot. Almost any picture that you have seen on a book jacket of Jack Kerouac was taken by Allen Ginsberg in Greenwich Village. I mean, in East Village, excuse me.
And Washington Square is somewhere there, too.
Yeah, it's technically in Greenwich Village. It's sort of near the edge, which is why we're starting both of our tours there today. Like, we'll go down to Washington Square, we'll do a big group kind of review of that particular area, and then one group will go east and one group will go west, meet back at Washington Square, grab some lunch in the area, and then swap tours. So you'll
and sadly, I found out from Eric that the house that Henry James was born in was actually demolished.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry James was so upset about this that, it's on that basis that he went and became an English citizen.
Yeah, he was heartbroken when he came back and saw his home gone, and he said, that's it. New York is no longer my home.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and this comes up a lot. I could talk for hours, but, you know, I mean, when you have a city on an island, the only place to go is to go up. And if you landmarked every building in New York City that had something famous go on, there would be no more construction. It's just New York just happens to be that city.
Well, Washington Square actually talks about that in the opening chapters, about the way everything gets knocked down and they have to move further and further up Manhattan. Yeah.
Most of the settlement of Manhattan is a northern migration, starting from the Dutch colony down on Wall Street and just working your way up.
Yeah. So tonight we're going to the theater in 256 West 47th Street. And there's a little bit of a story there. James and I are actually going to walk there from here, but Eric will tell you about how to get there on the train. Now, do you want to mention that?
What we're going to do, where we're located, we're between 34th Street, Herald Square, or Penn Station. It is a major subway hub. Almost every train stops in 34th Street, somewhere along the line. And then south, we have 28th Street. I'm going to take us to 28th Street because it'll be a little less crowded. 28th Street is a local stop. So that's one of the ones where I'll point out as we get there, you'll see the subway stairs will say it's either the uptown stairs or the downtown stairs. So you can, by going down those stairs, you can only take the train in one direction. If you go up to 34th Street, which is three blocks north, you can catch a train in either direction, and you just need to kind of follow the signs. Again, the most important thing to know is just to remember, are we going uptown or downtown? Am I going to 42nd Street? I'm at 28th. I'm going uptown, and vice versa.
You're right.
I'm probably going to suggest that if you're going to take the train tonight, to go see the theater, is go to the train station that I'm going to walk us to, because both stops would be a local stop, and that way there's no worry about skipping your stop.
Okay.
First, you.
What's the theater called tonight?
The theater is called Brooks Atkinson Theater. Do they have that somewhere down?
You should have that on the schedule.
Yes.
Okay.
The other thing, too, just talking about the theater, pragmatic stuff, we have to pick the tickets up there. So at all the theater events, it's all arranged, and I have to pick the tickets up, and they want us there 45 minutes before the show starts. Now, I'm going to give you a bit of a window of a little bit. I'm going to be there to pick up the tickets at that point, but you need to come and collect them from me at least half an hour before the show starts.
It starts at 8, doesn't it?
If you are not there to pick up your tickets from me by the time they're letting you in, you will miss out on getting to see the show.
Actually, it says on here 7:30 it starts.
Yeah.
On here.
Oh,
does it? Yeah, 7:30.
So
we have to be there
by 7.
You
need to be there by 7
at the latest. And you have to be fed by then as well.
That's
good.
So for most of what we're going to be doing on this tour as well is the time will be, you're all adults, we're leaving you to do a lot of your own organising. So apart from the tours, you're on your own a lot of the time you get there. You can come about as well, but you need to make sure that you know how to get there. It might take you longer than you think, but all of the theatres are pretty much close to each other that we're going to roll.
They're all in Broadway, aren't they?
Yes, I think they're on Broadway.
You go to Times Square, they're all off there.
Yeah,
and we'll walk through a lot of them tomorrow because we're doing a tour of the Times Square. So maybe we'll, you know what I'll do.
Okay, well now let's
make sure you've got enough time to get there. Don't leave too late.
Okay, so we're stepping along.
How long is the walk? Sorry.
What, to the theatre?
Yeah.
About an hour.
Oh, no, I don't think it's that much. No. It's about 16 blocks. 10 blocks is something that if the weather's nice, I would walk rather than the train. Unless I'm like super tired. 10 blocks is a very manageable walk.
Half an hour?
15. I would give yourself a half an hour to walk the 16 blocks. Avenue blocks are a little bit longer, so I would say half an hour to maybe 40 minutes just to give yourself the time to meander around, but that should be achievable.
Yes, Mitch? Oh, shh. Go, Mitch. And you had a question, Mel?
Might be a dumb question, but is there a theatre, can you get food there?
They'll have concessions. Like, yeah.
Can you
yeah,
get
they
food?
Will.
Can you get food there?
Yeah. They'll be. I mean, depending on the theater, there'll be some forms of snack. It'll be expensive. I would recommend, if from a financial point of view, eat something else in that area. Times Square will have a lot of little delis to get sandwiches or snacks or something. That'll be a little bit better price. But
can I just make a suggestion too? This is my own personal tendency, but I don't like getting caught out without food. I've got my backpack here. I went up to the pharmacy on the corner and bought my sandwich and my yogurt and my drink. So I've got my little wrapped lunch with me all day today, so no one can upset me. And if I can't find anything, I've got some food there. So it's just a suggestion. You might want to do something similar.
Can you bring a camera to the theatre?
No.
No.
Pictures? Some people do. They generally frown on pictures being taken.
Like, can we take it and not use it? Or will they?
Oh, yeah, they should. I don't think they'll be doing a bag search. Okay. And you do sometimes see people out there with phones, but the ushers will probably ask you to stop. It's no, proprietary. It's the, you know, it's the artistic. Yeah. For an artist, that's their bread and butter, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so go on.
I was just
going to
ask you, what time should we meet?
What time are we going to meet, James?
We've got to be there at what, 7?
We've got to be there. We've got to be there. We've got to be there at 6:30. We've got to be there at 6:30.
I'll probably meet about 6:15.
Okay. Yeah, meet us in the foyer at 6:15.
And I'll be heading off right at
that time. What time does the theatre start?
7:30. It's got 19:30 on there. Better to be safe than sorry.
The other two, I'm pretty sure they
started. Yep. Okay, yeah, that's another thing. But what we need, this is just a slightly different topic, but Marwin's just reminded me. We've got all your phone numbers on the sheets here, but a lot of these phone numbers are sort of out of date because they're numbers that relate, they're either your mum or your dad's phone number and they're not related to your SIM card, etc. So we want you to change this. Before you leave the room today, I want everybody to change their number on here. So if we lose you, we can find you.
No, we'll do that.
After.
Otherwise. And also, too, I have my American number. So before we leave today, I'm going to give you all my number so that you can call it if you've got any sort of...
And you've all got my number, so yeah. Okay, you go. Come on. Okay, so we're now moving along with the next day, and we're going to have Eric say a little bit about our tour to Times Square in Brooklyn.
So Brooklyn is a subway ride. It'll be about a half an hour or so of a subway ride. So I'm going to have Lee and Miranda, who will be your Brooklyn guys, will meet you here at the hotel at 10:30, I think. And we'll they'll meet the guys will meet all of you here at 10:30. The Brooklyn people will walk to the train, head out to Brooklyn. The Times Square people will just start walking because we'll include a few stops here, work our way up there.
Is that every day 10:30? Do you think we should make that as a kind of a ballpark? Or what?
Well, I mean, you have other things going on different days. And Saturday, I think we're after your MoMA tour.
Oh, that's right. The MoMA. Yeah.
So for today and tomorrow. And today,
yeah.
We're here. Tomorrow, 10:30,
okay.
I think.
Okay,
and,
yep.
But Brooklyn is... That's the tour that I like to call Places I'll Never Afford to Live. The architecture is gorgeous, especially where we start in Brooklyn Heights. It's gorgeous old row houses and whatnot. Very much a lot of a theater, a lot of connections with Greenwich Village, of people who got tired of the hype and went to the quiet solitude of Brooklyn Heights area. And a lot of living writers. Some of you may not have even heard of Jonathan Ames, who wrote Bored to Death on HBO, and Jonathan Latham, Motherless Brooklyn, Paula Fox. So some of the writers that I actually hadn't heard of until we started doing the tour and read their book and recommend. As well as like your Arthur Miller, Tom Wolfe, Richard Wright.
And we've got the people we've looked at. We've looked at Walt Whitman, and we've looked at the Brooklyn Ferry, and we've looked, of course, at Hart Crane and the Brooklyn Bridge. So they're the two immediate connections we've got to Brooklyn. Yeah.
And then we'll talk about it when Walt Whitman was writing about Brooklyn. Brooklyn was not part of New York City. Brooklyn was its own unique city, and they talk about the Twin Cities. Even the Statue of Liberty talks about the Twin Cities because it wasn't part of New York City at that time. It's referred to as the Great Mistake when Brooklyn became part of New
Is
York.
That right?
Yeah.
Why? How come?
Because it was such a close vote. It was literally some people like to say it was like a handful of votes that went in favor of doing it because so much of Brooklyn was against it.
Right.
And it was basically an ego poll because people were concerned Chicago was going to become the biggest city in the country.
Uh-huh.
And so New York incorporated a couple other of these boroughs and made Brooklyn part of it. So, 1898, the big mistake. Times Square is going to be very much about a lot of the theater history. People familiar with Guys and Dolls?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because there's a couple of stops that I thought were really cool that I found in the Times Square area. There's also going to be a little bit about the formation of the New Yorker magazine and that sort of 20s, 30s, and 40s, when you really think of sort of the high life of New York, some of the people who shape that. George Walcott, no connection to this hotel. Some names that you probably, Harpo Marx, you've probably heard of?
Yeah.
There's a few names, Dorothy Parker, is that name?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are some of the people there. They're not always as well known, but they really shaped so much of what we know of New York, even though their names have lost. So you really kind of get a sense of, like, when people think of New York, they think of Times Square. And they think of a lot of those buildings and the gangsters and everything that was going on in that neighborhood. So you'll get a lot of that in the Times Square tour, as well as the history of just Broadway itself.
Fantastic.
And I think for Brooklyn, what we'll do, I think, is easiest is you'll take the train out there. Your guides will bring you back to this area for lunch, and then you'll meet your guides here for the second tour, and then the Brooklyn people will take the new people back.
Okay. And then that evening, Thursday evening, that's tomorrow evening already, we're going to Broadway again to the Samuel Friedman Theatre, which starts at 8 o'clock. Do you want to say something about that, James?
Yeah, and again, you just need to meet me there by half an hour before, and I'll give you tickets.
What are we seeing there? Doesn't
that
it?
One's Jitney.
Oh, Jitney, yeah. Yeah, fantastic. Then on Friday, we have got, now is that you, Eric? We've got the Radio City Stage Door Tour.
Yep.
That's not you, is it?
That's not.
That's not you. And do you want to say something about that briefly, James?
What we'll do is we'll wait till the day before that one as well, so I'll let you know where to meet and how we'll organise that one.
But yep.
We'll just go from here, or we can meet actually there at the... You can choose to come with me, or you can choose to meet us there.
And then on Friday, we've got the MoMA guided tour, which starts at 1 o'clock. So that's in the afternoon after the Radio City stage tour. And then in Friday evening, we have got the Bronx Tale at Longacre Theatre. Anything you want to say about that, James?
And again, meet me there.
That's the Longacre Theatre. You should have this somewhere. They should have this down
there.
Okay.
Email that was sent you also.
Yeah.
If not, just come and see me. I'll have the folder and look it up.
Then on Saturday, we have got a Met guided tour in the morning, American Art, and in the afternoon we've got Eric again taking us to the carousel.
To the carousel
in Central Park.
And
the duck pond.
And the duck pond, yeah. We'll meet at the corner of 5th Avenue and 59th Street, which is right at the corner of the park.
That's 2 o'clock. Will we meet you there at that?
I think you should meet us there.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that would be the easiest. By then, you'll know your way around the city, so it should be...
So you better remind us exactly of that address before you...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be a long walk. It's walkable, but that would be a long walk.
It also brings in Gatsby. There's a lot of Central Park in Gatsby as well.
There's some Gatsby. There's just a lot of the history of the development of New York. There's a lot of references to world literature there. There's a little bit of James Baldwin
that I found that I was excited about.
So it'll be a combination of just sort of the history of the park as well as some of the literary connections. Obviously, the J.D. Salinger stuff was key. Yeah. It came out of, there was another tour that was going to be the original tour there, and then Michael and James wanted to see if I could make it more literary heavy and did some research and felt like I could do a good mix of just history of the park as well as some of the literary connections. That group, everyone will meet there at the same time, and we'll just split off into two groups right there.
Great.
Maybe you walk on either side of the pond, and then intersect and non-intersect, as the case may be.
And we'll be able to answer Holden Caulfield's question, where do the ducks go in winter?
<That's right. laughs>
We will. That's right.
I asked a question about actually.
Yep.
We're just trying to plan our time between the tour and the show.
Yep.
What time do you think we would finish the second
tour? It's pretty loose. We had set up initially when we were just talking logistics and just setting up 11-1 for the first tour and 3-5 for the second. Making sure that people had enough time for lunch. I don't think we have to wait till 3 to start. And I've already told the guides this as well. When you end your first tour, the guides will be talking to each other. So just if you can let the guide that you're with say, you know, what you think, because you might get done at 12:30, in which case maybe at 1:30 or 2 to meet the next guy. And they're just going to grab some lunch and be ready to go whenever. So I think we start when the group is ready. And I think you should try to start earlier so you have more time later on. I don't think we're going to go a full 2 hours unless, like, we've wowed the pants off of you and there's lots of questions and there's a lot of traffic. But, you know, it's generally about 90 minutes, give or take. Go get some food. You know, we'll set a time with the guides to meet back. And then, so hopefully, like, between 1:30 and 2, I think you could start your second tour. Yeah, because the sun will start setting right around like 5 o'clock.
And while I think of it too, don't forget you must bring your Metro card with you.
Okay, Sunday is the pièce de résistance, if that's the right word. And Eric's, we organized Eric to do this for us. We're going to go, first of all, to a service at the Canaan Baptist Church. Tell us a bit about that.
There's a bunch of different Harlem gospel churches, and it's become, I guess, a popular tourist thing to do. And so I did want to just say as a caveat, like what we'll do is they have a balcony space. We'll go up to the balcony. It is a church service. I'm sure most of you have been to church services. You know, we're there to participate in the worship. To whatever degree. This definitely don't take cameras and phones out. We want to make sure that, I mean, they are definitely open to, it's common because people like the singing. You'll find that people in the balcony, some people may kind of get up and leave after a certain point. I think that's kind of your call in the end, but 31 people getting up and leaving would kind of come across as rude in the balcony. So I would suggest, like, take a moment and enjoy the full service and the full experience of the ceremony. My intention is to join you in, because I've never gone either. One of the ways it also makes it appreciated is it's pretty common, especially in the Baptist Church, to pass around a tray for donations. Throw in a dollar or two is perfectly fine, and that would also make it. I mean, like I said, this is common. It's common at that church. They seemed amenable to it. We want to get there early because this is not the kind of thing like a theater where we book tickets and reserve. I mean, we were basically just attending a church service. So we want to try to get there at 9:30. Hopefully it won't be too cold to wait outside so that once they open we can go upstairs and have a seat.
What time does the service start?
It starts at 10. And it's they say it's about close to 2 hours. My thought was that with the other guides who would be, if they don't join us for the service, would be to have them sort of get there around 12:30 so that you could get some food in that area if you want. And then once half of you are ready to go, that first group can start walking and the second group will wait for the others to show up. So it'll be the same thing. We'll start at roughly the same time based off of when everyone's kind of ready to go. We're a little relaxed with that.
And it's really an opportunity, as I see it, to kind of connect with the kind of beating heart of American spirituality, which we've actually seen represented in Maya Angelou from a rather critical perspective, because she, you know, she questions the way that black Negro spirituality has been somehow a kind of a defense against the Western tyranny of Western practice. So, you know, we'll get a chance there to kind of experience and be involved in something that's very central to Black American literature and music, really. So that's be fantastic. And then after that, Eric, at 1 o'clock, we've got a Harlem tour. Now, what have you kind of envisaged in that there?
And like I was saying, I think if we're ready to start earlier, we're happy to start. We'll be standing by, if you will. I think we'll make the meeting point right there out front of the Canaan Church again at 116th Street. It's I walked it with Cedric the first time. Oh, that's my reminder that I have to call on.
Okay, sure, good.
R2 is really useful that way. It's going to be really... It's cool in the sense that Harlem and the city and Lenox Avenue are so prominent in jazz. So I think it's going to be kind of fun just walking through. I wish I could find any kind of cross street to suggest where that apartment actually was. I have not been able to find like an address, so we know it's somewhere in the teens and 20s on Lenox Avenue.
Which apartment are you referring to?
Joe Trace's and Violet's.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Because they moved around and ended up at Lenox Street.
Yeah.
There's also, we're going to talk a little bit about a novel called The Street by Anne Petrie. I'm guessing it's a name that you haven't heard of. She kind of got lost a little bit for over time. She was the first African-American novelist to sell over 1 million copies.
Right.
I believe in the world. Certainly in the country. So it's kind of ironic that she got lost. The Street is an amazing, beautiful, heart-wrenching novel, and it's almost all set right on a block of 116th Street, right near where we're going to start. So we'll be referencing some of the themes that come up from there, and it's a novel that I might recommend to your reading list at some point. It's the kind of novel that you'll probably only want to read once because of the emotional experience. It's hard, but it's hard. I don't know. It's like, I almost compare it to Grapes of Wrath. Has anyone ever read Grapes of Wrath? It's another amazing, heart-wrenching story.
Yeah.
We'll talk about a few early influences from Maya Angelou and several other African-American writers whose names we might not be as familiar, but who were very instrumental to a lot of the Harlem Renaissance. And we'll also talk a bit about how Harlem really started out as a white community and then became a black community and then was a very divided, some of the Apollo is very much an African-American club that was African-Americans weren't allowed into for a long time. It was a whites-only club. So it's really interesting to see how that has changed and is changing again because obviously gentrification is changing the cultural dynamic in Harlem again. And that's something that we also try to be a little bit sensitive as well, especially as a group of 30 white folks pointing out famous black spots. Which I don't think I'm not expecting any issues, but it is something that, you know, we are aware of, and Brooklyn to a point too, that we are witnessing some cultural divides, and sometimes a tour is representative of that.
Actually, that was one other thing. I was just wondering if I could get you to speak a little bit about cultural sort of sensitivities. Australians tend to be extremely open, particularly even in things like our politics. We're very willing to discuss very openly what we think, which who we vote for. And things with Trump, it's just, you know, as the elections, I think, and just with African-American sensitivities and things, are there any things to sort of hint to these guys what to do?
I would not use the N-word. I would even Negro is sometimes something that I feel a little awkward with, and I don't think, but I think I have very much a sensitivity of understanding just the difficulties here. There's often a lot of politics that go into sort of the racial divide, but I think that there's sometimes a loss of the cultural sensitivity that some of the highlights, the Great Gatsby is being written in this amazing time in New York City where 1,000 miles south, 16-year-old black girls are hung from trees for crimes that they didn't commit. And that there's a real, I think is and when people argue with politics, I have a difficult. I mean, especially when I became a father, everything changes again when you see something. This whole thing of lynching and slavery and the violence and the fact that we're still dealing with some of these issues is very prominent. And the Black Lives Matter movement that I'm sure you've heard of now that has become a very strong movement still faces some ridicule. From a more conservative side, and I think there's valid viewpoints on either side to some of this, but there's still very much a sense that I have never been scared. I'm scared about the fine that I'm going to get and the points on my license if I get pulled over for speeding. I am never scared that I'm going to be shot. And you know, you hear a story. There was a police officer who recently had a post that went viral on Facebook where he was talking about this 16-year-old black kid that he had pulled over who was shaking with fear. And just the cop was so angry at whatever it was that caused this. Even though there's plenty of crime in the ghetto, even though there's certain reputations, whatever causes, all he wanted was this kid to drive safely and not get killed. And this kid is afraid that he might get shot. That is why there's a certain amount of sensitivity here. I do have to step away and make a call. So if I think at 10:30, let's meet in the lobby, and I'll take us down to the train, and we'll start the tour.
We're not finished yet. So just before we leave the Black American literature in relation to what Eric just has said, it's important to point out that August Wilson, Jitney, is also set right in Harlem. And you remember the painting that I showed you on Thursday by Roman Bearden, which he is a Black artist, and his painting of Lenox Street with all those kind of collage-like effects. And in fact, August Wilson has been compared to Roman Bearden. They knew each other. And of course, Toni Morrison's World is also very much a description of the Lenox Street environment. But also connected to that, of course, not with Harlem, but the Bronx Tale. The whole Bronx Tale drama is so inwoven, really, with what the kind of tensions that we find in Harlem are also there. Two other things I just wanted to mention before James might have something else he wants to mention. Two other things. It just occurred to me today, I hadn't really realized it, that the Poems of New York has got the Empire State Building picture on each side, and we're just underneath it virtually. In fact, if you walk two blocks up there and buy your lunch at the pharmacy where I went, it's actually in the Empire State Building, so that's a nice connection. The other thing I just want to mention is about blogs. Now, I'm pretty sure that nearly everybody has sent me their URL, but there's a few. I haven't actually gone through the list and found out that, you know, for instance, somebody hasn't put theirs yet. And if when I do that, I'll probably send you a message. I'm putting your blog address onto my blog. There's a page, and it's the blog before the one that I put up last night, and they're all listed there, and they're all active. And while your assignment is, at the end of this course, to complete 5 blogs in literature and 5 blogs in drama, my hope, imagination, I don't know quite which, is that you'll actually start doing something in there now. I mean, you can always edit your blogs. You can start doing your blog now and you can edit it 10, 15 times. You can go back. And then when it's ready and prepared, you know, you can say, well, that's the one I want to be marked. And we will mark that particular blog that you nominate. Don't feel you need to restrict yourself just to do that blog. It can be a space where you record your impressions for New York. You have a week-long journal there in your blog diary for New York. And the other thing is that if you look at anybody else's blog, in the bottom right-hand corner, it will say, follow this. And if you click on follow, then that person's blogs will automatically come up in your blog page every time you open it. So, you know, if you wanted to, you could connect with your friends and with the whole group in that way through the blog interaction. Any questions about that at all? Yep?
Do we need to put the question that
we're
in the blog?
Like, when it comes finally to marking it, you'll have to put the question on the top and you'll have to tell James and I, these are the 5 literature ones, these are the 5 drama ones that I want you to mark.
Yeah, make it easy for you. Michael's very good with these blogs. I am not.
Well, James is very good with other things. James is brilliant on drama. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses.
Right. So make it easy for me.
Yep.
If we're working on these blogs, we're going to need access to the internet.
Yep.
Is the hotel offered?
To be honest, I go... Mitch, yeah?
If you need free Wi-Fi, go to Starbucks or Dunkin'.
Or even bread.
Bread and butter has free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And for 5 days, it's $50. That's 5 days.
It's less than $50, isn't it? I thought it was only about 20.
Yeah. No, for
Well, just to be honest, I actually purchased 5 days for myself, but I can switch between my phone and my laptop. You can kind of have the two running simultaneously, but you can switch between them.
To be, I actually thought it was included, but it isn't.
It's just everywhere else.
Not everywhere else.
No, I know.
Like, no, because like, just walk down the street.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, now, the other thing is that, in case you've missed it, we want you to all wear these because Eric needs to know whether he's talking to Madeline or Peter, and I like to know whether I'm talking to Madeline or Peter, and I know all my Sydney faces with names, but I'm still learning my Melbourne and Brisbane faces and names, so this helps. So every time I look at you, you pick this up and you put this in front of you like this.
My other advice is when you go off to get lunch, don't look like a tourist and take it off.
Or stick it down under your jumper
or
whatever.
But when we're all in a group, we're going to look like tourists anyway, so that's okay. But when you're not, take it off and put it somewhere else. The other thing too is I've had a few people asking me about coins. We've probably got them all now. The coins might be a bit tricky in America because the 5 cent piece is bigger than the 10 cent. And they do call them pennies. So your 1 cent is a penny. Your 5 cent is the nickel. The dime is 10 cents. And a quarter is 25 cents. So a quarter, a dime, a nickel, a penny. They do also have what is called... They do also have what is called half dollars. They're pretty rare. And that is a 50 cent piece. But they're pretty rare.
Question?
Yeah, they have it in... The pack that Reva gave us, it has information about the country on the page. It has
yes.
About all the
points. Yes.
So just, like, take a photo of it on your phone.
Yeah.
When
I didn't check it, but the
dime
is the smallest.
And he doesn't get liquidity. Yeah. It's like, do you have 5 cents? I'm like, he's like, yeah.
Yeah, the 5 cent is the big one, is the big silver one. Well, actually, no, 25 cents, the biggest. But anyway, I know I'm going to live here. The other thing is, like, if you've got a pen or you've got your telephone there handy, this is my American phone number in case you need it. So make sure you've got your telling phones.
Michael's number is the same.
My number is the same.
But this is my American number. Okay, you all ready? And then we might pass around the other documents.
It's going. It's already happening.
Oh, good. And then once you've done that, then I think they can go back and meet at the... Do not be late. It'd be 5 minutes before 10:30. Okay. My number here is 1708...
Sorry.
1708-420-8361. So that is my mobile. That's my and you just ring that number. So 1708-420-8361. It will be turned off on aeroplane mode when I go to Betty Pies, but all other times or and in the theater.
James, how could you do that to us?
Was everybody okay in their rooms last night? All good. And everybody could work that shower okay.
And was everybody so hot they had to open their windows?
It was hot, yeah. I just take myself out.
Just quiet for a moment, folks. The list is going around for you to just check whether the number on there is the correct number. So that's going to take 10 minutes before it gets around to you guys here. So just settle back for a moment.
And the other person I wanted you to meet is very kindly my very good friend here, Annette, who has been a travel companion friend of mine. Annette is in the lovely position of being retired now. But Annette has very kindly decided to... I mean, she has paid just like the rest of you, and this is her holiday, but she's going to be helping me out as well. So those of you who are in Team A... You will be with the very wonderful Emma and Michael, and those of you who are in Team B will be with me and Annette. So you should have that. That list is still on Leo, so check it out. Make sure you know
and
who you're with.
You all met Emma the other day,
yes.
Did you not?
Yes.
You all met her, and Emma gave a little blueprint of her background and, you know, how she's got legal training and blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
So she's the source of all legality.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if you go to jail, you call Emma.
That's
not me.
Now, does anybody have, while we're sitting here in very relaxed mode, because shortly you're going to be up and about walking for the next 7 hours.
We should let the back door in.
But how are they going to fill this phone number? When you fill the phone number in, well, before that, any other questions about anything? Yes.
Do you think I'll need to take my book? Can we go out today?
Yes, you will need to take those.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to take
them. Take your phone, take lots of pictures.
Yep. And actually, it might be good for the lifts once they've signed off. Go.
And when you've signed off
on your phone number,
then you can leave.
Yeah, you can pop back up to your room.
My number's the same.
And Marwan, did you have a question? Did you have a question? So much heat.
No,
today, if you want to, be hooked into the literature tour, it would be a good idea to bring your three novels with you. That's not the Maya Angelou and the Toni Morrison, but the other three. They'll pop up somewhere today for sure. Today and tomorrow.
Do you want us to bring
I think it's a good idea to bring exercise books and to take notes. Whatever you like, whatever's easiest and most convenient.
I don't want to annoy them.
Okay. Yeah. I have both actually. I take both with me.
For that, you've got to reception.
Catch her in the Rye and Gatsby. Yeah.
Thank you. Can you bring the poems?
You could bring the poems as well, yes.
Okay, thank you. Just
I think Michael's going to do. Are you going to take a photo of this list to give it to the rest of
the list? I don't know if the list is going to get filled up because they're all gone.
Some of them have already given us their numbers and they know.
Have they?
And Maggie just said their team are working today, they're going to get it.
But yeah,
we'll catch them at some
point. I'll take a photo of it.
Yeah, that might be the best way.
But what will I do with the photo? Send it to you.
Email it.
I can email it, yeah. Have I got your email address, Emma?
We'll have through all of the emails.
Well, did you just send an email during that?
But if you don't, just see Matt.
No.
I got the email from you and it said 9:15.
Sorry,
I'm a little
blocked. But I'll get mine used to this.
Isn't he wonderful? Eric's fantastic.
He's good. He's very good.
He's been
a good fella. Yeah, he's very
good.
All right, I'm going to go back up.
Yeah, I've got
the room too, because
I've got
a headache that's going
compound. Do you want some
Panadols? I've got some. I'm going to go up there. I'll go upstairs.
You must. Yeah.
And I'm going to keep
them
in the bag.
Is this at 10:30?
I had a headache this morning.
10:30 in the lobby, not in here.
I had one this morning too.
Oh. Yeah, it's because I haven't had enough cups of tea.
Go and have another cup of tea.
No, no, I've had tea now. Oh yeah, and go to the bathroom. It's called bathroom, not toilet.
Go
to the toilet before you go.
Bathroom.
Go to the bathroom.
Got it. The bathroom.
Okay,
and don't drink too much coffee.
Don't drink too much coffee. Go to the bathroom.
That's it.
Okay, what's this place? Thank you. Isn't it weird?
It is weird.
Like this man's table was ordering food, and I wanted to check. Like I didn't want to be rude. So I was like, oh, you can go ahead of us because we didn't know what we were ordering. And he goes, no, it's okay. And I was like, okay, cool.
No,
and then we're thinking.
You don't know where, and he goes, and no, it's fine. I've already ordered.
No, he said, I asked him twice if he had like told him twice. And like, I was like, no, you're like, yeah, seriously, we don't know what we want. And he goes, it's fine. I've ordered. I was like,
because usually
no worries.
Like, no, it's okay. I've ordered. Like,
you go.
I was like, honestly, we have no clue what we're ordering.
Now, what's your name?
Tegan.
Tegan.
Yes.
And your name?
Sydney.
And your name?
Nathan.
Are you from the Melbourne group?
No, Brisbane.
Brisbane.
He's
Nathan.
He's the only boy from Brisbane.
Only boy. Oh, won't forget that. Nathan. And you?
Jade.
Nathan. Sydney. Tegan.
Yeah.
I'll forget within half an hour, but I'll keep going.
Just
I'll...
thinking when you see this face where you live.
Oh, good. That's good.
Go.
Very good. Yeah.
Just get this to write yours down.
Is that list somewhere? Still happening. Your name?
Helen.
Yes. And you're from Melbourne?
No, I'm from Brisbane.
Brisbane also.
Yeah.
Helen.
And Stiles.
stars
is? Race of stars.
Stars, yeah. As in Nastasia. What you see in the sky.
Nastasia. But
Nastasia. Yeah.
Okay. Just call her stars because it's way too
hard. Stars, okay.
My dad, when I told her that, like when I was talking about...
I remember
about...
your name because my daughter's Helen.
Oh, lovely.
Good name.
My dad called you Pistachio when I was like listing who I was going with. He's like, oh, Pistachio. And I was like,
Tegan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Star. Oh, stars. Can I use that?
Certainly.
Thank you, Helen.
Sydney, now forget Helen already.
Jade.
Jade. Precious
stone.
Think
of the rock.
I think of the what?
The rock.
The rock. Jade, that's the one. The rock.
Okay.
You must be feeling the cold more than most of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we said, like, we were sitting in the lobby like, and everyone was like,
and I was like, he's not that big.
And we were like, what the hell?
And we're like, oh, Brisbane.
It was a heat wave.
No, like, it had gotten cooler, but before that, it was like 38 degrees every day. So
it was like 30 degrees at 11
o'clock. You know, it was 40 degrees in Sydney on Tuesday. 40 degrees.
Our humidity is disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, ours is just...
It's like 87% one day.
Yeah, wow.
And it's like no humidity here, so it's like...
It's weird, my hair, when I got off the plane, my hair wasn't as frizzy. I was like, what's going on?
Anyway, it's going to be great, isn't it? It's a good guy. He's so it's going to be fantastic.
He knows a lot, which is comforting.
Very comforting.
He's going to get back to you some later.
He was, my daughter found him on the internet, and he was advertised as New York literary pub crawl.
Pub crawl, ooh.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Jade's 23, so she could do that.
But we're not going to do any pubs.
Double 25.
She's like, I should.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, Jade, we're not going down that track.
7604.
I'll be okay. I'm excited for the church. It'll be really
good. Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
Mm. Oh, Helen. I think that's done. I think everyone's done.
That's it? Okay.
My number's the same. Yeah. Where am I? Yes.
Goodo. Yep. Fantastic.
All right, we'll see you.
What time is it now?
10.
It's already 10.
10:02.
What time are we meeting?
10:10.
Okay, we better get moving.
Yes.
Wait, are we meeting here, though?
We're meeting in the foyer.
Oh, good.
Are you guys still breakfasting? Still hungry? Check the list. Yep.
Showing you where I am. Oh dear. That was terrible.
Demarco. 0412 270555.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay, great, lovely.
Thank you.
See you shortly. Okay,
you've got a penthouse.
Do you know who that is?
No, he doesn't.
It's major literary text called Gossip Girl.
Ah. It's a show.
Shut up. I don't know it.
Is it in America?
I should.
No, you
should
know it.
No, you shouldn't.
It's
set in New York City. And
I know. You were getting out.
No, we're on number 9. Just made it.
And the girls in that eat yogurt on the Met steps.
So when we're connected, when we go to the Met, we're going to take a photo on the steps. We're going to get yogurt.
Where do I watch this film?
Netflix.
Netflix.
It's a TV series. There's six seasons.
Yeah.
No one spoil it. Don't tell them what the girl is.
Just text me the details.
I will.
Good.